Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the Opel Commercial Vehicles range. We have your van.
Antonis Dalí of Radco remains under pressure today after a weekend revelation that in April of last year, the then Taoiseach sent a draft confidential GP agreement, which was between the state and the Irish Medical Organisation, to a friend who was also head of a rival GP group. Leo Varadkar on Saturday admitted to leaking the document and said it was not best practice, but he rejected accusations that what he did broke the law. We'll be hearing from the various political parties in just a moment, but first, our reporter Barry Lenehan is outside Leinster House now. Barry, I know you've been hitting the phones today. What have you been hearing and where does this controversy go next?
Yeah, cold and quiet here, but the political noise and temperature to ramp up significantly around here in Kildare Street in the next 36 hours. Officially, the next step in this process, Claire, is that the Oireachtas Business Committee will meet this afternoon to finalise Leo Varadkar's appearance before the Dáil tomorrow and what format that will take and whether he will answer sustained questions from the opposition. The opposition, of course, likely to focus in on how and why Leo Varadkar disclosed the confidential doctor's pay deal agreement not intended for circulation to a friend via courier. That friend, Dr. Matt O'Toole of the NAGP, a prominent figure in the media during the pandemic. And this, of course, happened when Mr. Varadkar Taoiseach, now talking to Fine Gael over the last 24 hours or so, they're rallying around their leader, of course, senior ministers Pascal Donoghue and Helen McEntee out batting for Leo Varadkar on the national airwaves. As we speak, a squadron of Fine Gael TDs and senators are currently on local radio defending Leo Varadkar, but senior sources in the party, they seemed pretty calm last night and again this morning, pointing to Taoiseach's confidence that he hasn't done anything wrong. They're taking issue with the article in The Village and saying that the NAGP was entitled to receive the information. Now, those close to Leo Varadkar say they expect him to deliver a big performance in the Dáil. Leo always delivers, they say, when he is under pressure, but some Fine Gael.
That's what Dr. Matt O'Toole said in his
as well,
text.
Ironically, yeah. Which is leaned upon as well by some in Fine Gael and some in the party, though. They do get slightly nervous because they do mention two caveats. They think Mr. Varadkar will be okay, but they add two conditions. One, if there aren't further revelations, they're not convinced that there aren't. And two, can he guarantee that he hasn't done anything like this before or since? Now, not all in Fine Gael happy. Former Minister Michael Riggs said to be angry. One or two being sent out to defend the Taoiseach on the airwaves, not overly enamoured either. And what of the former Health Minister, Simon Harris? Of course, he was Minister when this package was sent, when this document was sent to Dr. Matt O'Toole. Of course, Fine Gael dubbing Mr. Varadkar and Mr. Harris their dream team during the height of the crisis around coronavirus. But it's believed Minister Harris wasn't aware of Leo Varadkar's actions in 2019. And it's unclear whether they've spoken since this story broke. His next public words will be watched keenly.
Okay, and we will try and get hold of Simon Harris and see if he'll talk to us today. But what about Fianna Fáil and the Green Party, Barry? Some reports that Fianna Fáil TDs are furious about this and feel that Micheál Martin should say more.
Yeah, Fianna Fáil split on the issue. I know you'll hear from Barry Cowan presently. Some would support his line of view, some saying it's the mainstream view of the party that Leo Varadkar made a mistake and should be given space to explain. Let's see what's said on Tuesday. Said, what if he trips up or if there's more revelations, we could have an issue. And if there is to be a general election, then bring it on. Now, one Fianna Fáil minister speaking to them this morning, they believe this is much ado about nothing. They described this political controversy as, quote, the first round of the provincial championship with the back door there as well. But they did add that perhaps it may damage Leo Varadkar and that his, quote, subtle agenda of undermining Micheál Martin needs to stop and this may help him to concentrate and focus on the job. That minister told me as well that what happened to Dara Cailleary was more serious, hence he resigned. But not everyone in Fianna Fáil in agreement. Another Fianna Fáil parliament parliamentarian telling me that Dara Kaleri had to resign for a lot less than what Leo Varadkar had to do. Remember Mr. Kaleri resigning over his attendance at the Oireachtas golf dinner. Others in Fianna Fáil angry. They feel Micheál Martin needs to come out publicly. Another adding that they feel the Fianna Fáil leadership will do nothing at all about this issue. And that quote is watered down for a morning radio audience. But some in Fianna Fáil, they doubt Mr. Varadkar's explanation. They say if he was clear at the time that this was all out in the open, then why wasn't this document sent from a department official? And they were saying that it holds very poor judgment by the Taoiseach. Another says that the argument in relation that the article was defamatory in the village, that Mr. Varadkar's intentions were good, that some of this information was in the public domain, that was all irrelevant. What matters, said this Fianna Fáil TD, was that Leo Varadkar admitted he shared a privileged document with a third party before that party was entitled to have access to it. Simple as that. End of story. If it was anyone else in Fine Gael, Leo Varadkar himself would have thrown them under the bus Saturday before lunch. The Green Party largely biting their lip this morning. However, there's said to be broad support for Oisín Smith's contribution yesterday, in which he said Leo Varadkar had many questions to answer. But the opposition honing in, asking whether Leo Varadkar acted unlawfully. He said he hadn't. The Rural Independent Group say Micheál Martin needs to urgently make a statement. But Leo Varadkar using the defence that as Taoiseach, head of government, anything he did was by definition authorised, which is a defence often used by Donald Trump. And Pat Leahy, a political source, saying to him in the Irish Times this morning, describing what Leo Varadkar has said as Leo's Trump's defence. Let's see how that plays out around here in Kildare Street over the next day or so.
Well, Barry, thanks very much for bringing us that. Keep your ear to the ground there and come back to us if you hear anything else over the next 2 hours. I want to speak now to the Minister of State at the Department of Finance, Expenditure and Reform, Patrick O'Donovan. Good morning to you, Minister.
Morning.
If this had been you, if you had done this, you would probably have been out of a job by Saturday afternoon.
I don't think so, Claire, to be honest about it, because, you know, what was the motivation here at the end of the day? The motivation here was to try and make sure that as many doctors as possible signed up to what the government was trying to do and what the government was coming under pressure from the opposition on a continuous basis. And I remember being in the Dáil, probably being even on your predecessor's show, certainly having it circulated in the media. Well, why won't the government talk to the Association of General Practitioners, and why won't they negotiate with them, and why won't they provide information to them? And what the Taoiseach at the time, Donal Tánaiste, said very clearly at the time was that he would provide updates and information. You know, that was the mechanism that he was going to provide.
By sharing a confidential document by courier.
Well, he didn't courier anything. It was actually sent by post. And the time frame, and I think that the Tánaiste has laid out the time frame, the negotiations on this agreement concluded on the 3rd of April. And from then it was in circulation. It was in circulation through the media. It was in circulation through Twitter and everything else. The Cabinet signed off on it on the 9th of April. And between the 11th and the 16th of April, some 13 days later, the then Taoiseach made a copy of the document available to the Association of General Practitioners, which was a commitment that he had given politically anyway, that he would keep them up to date.
Yeah, I don't know if he made that commitment. Later. The Department of Health had agreed in 2016 that it would consult this organisation, the NAGP, about developments. So, I mean, why did the Taoiseach have to do it?
Well, I'll tell you, over the period of time, and I know that in my own office, and it was raised at Fine Gael parliamentary party meetings, it was raised in the Dáil, it was raised on radio programmes, it was raised on newspapers and everything else, that there was over 1,000 general practitioners that were, you know, key to making sure that general practice was maintained across the country, that were members of the Association of General Practitioners. And I remember the Taoiseach and the Minister for Health and other ministers being questioned on this issue continuously. Why won't you let them know what's going on? Why won't you negotiate with them? So the reasons that he couldn't negotiate with them are, you know, they're well documented. But he did make a political commitment at the time that he would provide them with
up-to-date. Yeah, that's grand, right? And I accept what you're saying, that there was a demand that that document be shared. But the Taoiseach of the day, sending it to his friend, is not the way to do that. And it's not just me saying that. The Taoiseach, the Tánaiste himself said on Saturday that this was not best practice.
Yeah,
so, I mean, there's no point in you defending it. He's already admitted that he did wrong.
Oh yeah, and that's for 1 minute saying anything other than what's in his statement. I'm just laying out the context of what happened and the timeline of what happened.
But
and
you're sort of saying to me that he was right to do what he did.
No, what I'm saying is what he said in his statement, and I'm not saying any sort of this or sort of anything else. I mean, he has laid out in his statement, he's laid out in the timeline, but he's also put into the statement, which I think is very important, and which, you know, there's maybe an attempt not to actually zone in on. What was the motivation here? The motivation here was very clear, to make sure that general practice for under sixes, for elderly people, for vulnerable people, for families and communities was able to be maintained, because this was a huge political issue at the time. I'm sure that I was probably on, you know, various different radio programs being asked the same question: why won't you discuss this with the Association of General Practitioners? What's going on here? When are we going to get the details? And at the time, this was hugely important for the government to make sure that as many general practitioners as possible supported this arrangement and provided general practice to people across
okay.
the country.
So it's agreed that this was not best practice, okay?
That's in his statement.
And you agree with that. Can you explain to us how it was not best practice?
Well, I suppose when you read the statement from top to bottom and you look at it in the round, he said in the end of his statement that, you know, that he regrets that he didn't ensure that it was provided in a more appropriately formal manner. And I think that's really where this boils down to in terms of his regret. You know, he has laid out that, you know, if today was yesterday, would he have provided in a different mechanism? He probably would. But considering that it was in the public arena, considering that, you know, correspondence, political and otherwise, some general practitioners had it, other people had it, it was circulating widely, he wanted to make sure that we didn't have a situation where there was a break in general practice. And being a doctor himself and somebody who knows what the importance of general practice, okay. I'm sure that his motivation was to make sure that we had a situation, particularly going into the winter, where we now know it's so important, that we had as many doctors as possible signed up to something okay. which had been lingering around for years.
Have you spoken to Simon Harris about this, who was Minister for Health at the time? This was his deal, it was his negotiation. I mean, having the Taoiseach send that document out when you were in the middle of sorting something out with the country's GPs, I don't know how he feels this morning, but I'd imagine he must be very frustrated at what he heard over the weekend. Have you spoken to him?
Well, look, I mean, to be honest about it, I think the Minister for Health, the Taoiseach and the Minister, the other senior cabinet ministers, when it comes to public pay agreements, they work in unison. So they work as a team, and that has been the situation.
So did Simon Harris know that the Taoiseach was sending this document out to Dr. Matt O'Toole?
I don't know, but what I do know is that when it comes to public pay agreements, and I heard some political commentators saying, you know, the Taoiseach shouldn't involve himself in something like this. I mean, that's a ludicrous situation, that you'd have a situation where the Prime Minister of a country wouldn't be aware of the content and the context of pay agreements in the public sector of such significance as this. I mean, if you took that attitude from what the Labour Party is saying, that, and I'm sure when Brendan Howland was Minister for Public Expenditure and Reform, that the Dinn Taoiseach would have been aware of what was going on in public pay agreements. Can you imagine a situation if I was on with you this morning saying, well, the Taoiseach actually knew nothing about what was going on in the public pay agreement?
But I'm sure Enda Kenny didn't send a confidential document to one of his friends.
No, and I mean, bear in mind that, like, the Taoiseach has said it very clearly, that he regrets that he didn't ensure that it was provided in a more formal manner. But what was his motivation at the end of the day? He knew exactly what could potentially happen if up to 1,200 doctors weren't on side here. And, you know, look at the situation that we have today and the importance of general practice.
It wasn't up to him to share that document. It was up to the Department of Health to do that. They had agreed to work with the NAGP.
And he has more or less said that in his statement, Claire. But what it was up to him to do as Taoiseach and leader of the country was to use whatever means. And considering he had been questioned on this umpteen times in the Dáil, and he had given political commitments that he would provide information, if he absolved himself of negotiations to make sure that general practice was able to be continued, we would certainly be having a totally different conversation today, particularly in relation to how important primary care is in Ireland today.
And you don't believe that in doing what he did that he undermined the health minister at the time, Simon Harris?
I believe what he did at the time, you know, was motivated by one thing: to make sure, and if it was in relation to any other element of the public sector, I think the Taoiseach of the day would be, first of all, up to speed on everything that was happening within the line department, but secondly, would be making sure that everything that could be done would be done to make sure that we had a situation where you have a continuation of service. That's what he did.
Okay.
But he also makes it very clear that, you know, if today was yesterday, he should have used a more formal arrangement, and he acknowledges that and he regrets that.
Another text which featured in the Village article includes the sentence which was apparently typed by Dr. Matthew O'Toole, and it says, Leo literally couldn't give an F about the refugees. It's Flanagan's baby, and that's referring to the former Justice Minister, Charlie Flanagan. What's your response to that text?
Well, look, I mean, to be honest about it, you have me on to discuss, you know, the context of what the Dinn Taoiseach and now tarnished his position in it. But what I can say in relation to him, first of all, he's the son of a migrant. He knows the difficulties migrants have, probably more than anybody in the Dáil. I know the working relationship that he had with, for instance, David Senton, who was the Minister for Integration and Law Reform in the last government. I know that the difficulties that we endured as a government to make sure that people that were coming into the country were accepted by communities up and down the country, and he led from the front in relation to that. I know when he was, you know, Minister for Defence, and he went out into the Mediterranean to see exactly what the naval service were enduring, pulling people literally from debt out of the Mediterranean. He wouldn't have done all of those things had he not an interest in this, and I think he has a particular interest in it because of his own background and because of the background that his own family have.
How damaged is he by all of this?
Well, look, I mean, having me on this morning with you, certainly, you know, I wouldn't be on with you if it was, if you know, if we were talking about good news, maybe. So there's no doubt about it that I think that he's been given an opportunity tomorrow. By the way, he hasn't been drag kicking and screaming into the Dáil tomorrow. He made it very clear at the weekend that he wants to go into the Dáil, and he wants to set the record straight, and he wants to answer questions, and he wants to face questions.
Mm-hmm. But as you say, you're spending your time this morning defending him, and Pat Leahy in the Irish Times saying that, you know, people like you will have to go out publicly and defend him while privately seething at him.
Well, I tell you, Claire, I've been on your programme more than once, and you know that I'm fairly straight. And when I read the statement and I looked at the context of what he was trying to do, you know, I know this man longer than anybody in politics, because we interjung Fine Gael together, and I know the type of person that he is. I know what motivates him, and I know what he wants to do. And I also know that...
So you're happy enough to have to spend your time defending him this morning?
Absolutely, because I know that he would move heaven and earth to make sure that at the end of the day there was going to be no collapse in the importance of general practice, which if he hadn't done, I'd have been having a different conversation with you.
Okay, and you've made that point. Minister of State Patrick O'Donovan, thank you for joining us on the programme. Just worth mentioning, you may have heard it already, Johnny Depp, the actor, has lost his libel case against the Sun newspaper. This was over the article which labelled him a wife beater. He took the Sun to court. He has lost that case. We'll bring you more on that in a little while on the programme. But we want to continue with this story now, and I'm joined on the line by Sinn Féin's finance spokesperson, Piers Doherty, and also Fianna Fáil TD, Barry Cowan. Good morning to you both. Piers, I'm going to start with you. You heard what Patrick O'Donovan had to say there. The Taoiseach has admitted that what he did was not best practice, but that he didn't break any laws. Do you accept that?
Well, look, what the Taoiseach and the leader of Fine Gael has confirmed is that he provided a confidential, not for circulation document, and that's clear, it's on the front page of the document, to a rival organisation of the IMO to accompany on the request of his personal friend, the president of that organisation. And that is completely inappropriate. It's completely outrageous. The document in his own handwriting suggests that it was subject to change and amendment. He'd done this, in my view, because of the insider nature, that type of idea that if you're in with the right people, you get information that's not available to anybody else. And what we're hearing now from Patrick O'Donovan, what we're hearing from the Taoiseach, is spin and indeed deflection, because this question isn't about whether this was a good contract or not. This isn't about whether GP should have signed up to it or not. The issue here is that there was confidential information of a very sensitive discussion.
So most of it was out, though, at this stage, wasn't it? Wasn't
it,
Piers? Sorry, I didn't mean to cut across there. I think there's a slight delay on the line, but most of this was publicly available at this stage, wasn't it?
No, it was not. And that's very clear from the Dáil record, because a week after he provided this to his friend in the NAGP, the Dáil was debating this. And you can see from those transcripts that right across the political divide in the opposition, that there was huge frustration that this wasn't available. Not only that, Claire, but the NAGP, when they received this document, and we can see that from their internal communication, knew that this was sensitive, knew that they need to keep this a secret. Indeed, they went and made public statements that they didn't have the document. The chairperson of that organisation, organisation, Andrew Jordan, who made a statement at the end of April saying that they didn't have the document, and how could they come to an opinion if they didn't have the document? Why were they making those type of statements? Because they knew that the document they had was sensitive, was private, was not for circulation, and it couldn't be acknowledged to them that they had received this either from the Taoiseach or anybody else. The reality is, and when you cut through all of this here, this was a multi-million euro negotiation between the HSE, the department, and the IMO. This was sensitive, it was not for circulation, it was a private document that wasn't in the public domain, and because of the friendship that Leo Varadkar had with a person within that organisation, he decided to provide personally himself that type of information to him. That is completely inappropriate, it is absolutely wrong, and there are serious questions now
so
for the Taoiseach leader Fine Gael to answer.
Bring us those questions that you will ask tomorrow, I'm assuming, in the Dáil.
Well, he's going to have to justify why he provided that information to a personal friend, why he didn't provide it to the organisation, why they didn't publish it on the website, why the Department of Health, who was responsible for these discussions if they wanted all GPs informed, didn't just publicise this document, why he wrote on the document that this was subject to amendment and change, the acknowledgement that he knew that this was sensitive information, why Minister Harris, who was responsible for these negotiations, wasn't the person dealing with this here. He also needs to answer questions as how many other times if he's done this before, and what type of other sensitive documents may he have given to rival organisations. So this isn't tittle-tattle. This isn't leaks to the media. This is very, very serious. As I said, this is a multi-million euro contract that was being negotiated. It was at a sensitive stage. It wasn't in the public domain, despite what Fine Gael would like to say, and we can see that from the Dáil record. We can see that from the transcripts within the conversations of the NAGP, and we can see also conversations about how the NAGP were going to use this document in a way that that could have undermined the IMO. So okay, it was unbelievably wrong. It was a huge error by the Taoiseach to do this, but there's no doubt that this is how the old boys networks work, and how the Taoiseach participates in that type of old boys network. And that is simply wrong and needs to be challenged. And that's what we will do tomorrow.
You've had your own problems, though, in Sinn Féin. You've now lost four members over the last few days over these revelations that your party offices incorrectly received those payments from the COVID grant scheme in Northern Ireland and didn't pay back the money. Is that the end of it now? Are you confident that more people won't have to resign?
No, the party found out about this last Monday. Immediately, the first thing that the party leadership did was to make sure that all monies were returned, which they were through Monday and Tuesday. And then we went to identify who was responsible for each of the counts, which we've done over the period of the week. And as a result of that, Mary Lou has had discussions with a number of elected representatives, including the senator and MLA, and has accepted their resignation.
So what they did wrong? Because they didn't apply for this money. It was the fact that it was sitting in the account for months on end. Is that the problem?
Yeah, in relation to the three payments that were paid directly into bank accounts by the Department of the Economy, there is different ways that they were handled, but there is no justification for the fact that money was not repaid back immediately to the department as soon as it became aware. And therefore, we need to identify who was responsible for those accounts, for those monies, and prompt action was taken. And that is accountability. That is dealing with an issue. They didn't break any laws, but however, it wasn't appropriate for that not to be handed back immediately, and that's why those resignations were accepted by Mary Lou McDonald, and had made a public statement to that effect.
Okay. Piers Doherty, we're going to leave it there. Thank you very much for joining us, Piers Doherty from Sinn Féin, and let's go to Fianna Fáil TD Barry Cowan now. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Claire.
So you came out yesterday and you said that you didn't think that this was serious enough. And you said a grave. You didn't think a grave should be prepared for Leo Varadkar. I'm not quite sure where you were going with that. But
I was, asked for my thoughts and my comments on the matter of this issue. And based on what I'd seen and read up to then, I felt like many others, it wasn't necessarily best practice. It might even have been inappropriate. But it was with the best intentions of seeking to ensure that GPs would agree the contract or the new or updated contract which had been agreed between the IMO and the Department of Health.
How do you know that was the intention? I mean, that's what Patrick O'Donovan said to us. But how do you know that that was the intention, that it wasn't just sharing a piece of confidential information with a friend because the friend had asked?
Because, you know, I went back and looked at the record of the Dáil debate on the 16th of April, and while some members were dissatisfied that they hadn't had the information that the minister made available to that day earlier, there had been many public pronouncements and announcements around the headline issues contained within the contract. It was an issue that was everybody was anxious to see resolved. We were all receiving representations from GPs around the country. We were all anxious that those issues be addressed. We were all anxious that the FEMPI be restored to the GPs, among other issues. And basically, I was happy and content that that as I said to you, it was inappropriate. It wasn't best practice. He should have probably brought them in and discussed the matter and enlightened them as to what had been agreed, and sought their support and approval of the contract, mm-hmm. which was carried out.
If anyone else had done what he did, Barry Cowan, they would be fired.
I don't.
You know that.
Well, look, my issue is a different one. We can get into that if you want, but. You know, I don't believe that this doesn't rhyme with betrayal. It doesn't rhyme with enrichment or corruption or anything of that nature. I think it was a mistake. He'd have to learn from it. He's got to cop on. He's got to move on. We got to deal with much bigger and broader issues that affect the economy in relation to COVID, in relation to Brexit, and the negotiations that are ongoing in relation to those issues are much more pertinent. Now, of course, there are questions that can be asked and will be asked by those who wish to hold the Taoiseach to account in relation to his actions while he was in government, while he was Taoiseach of the country in dealing with this matter. And he is prepared to answer those questions because they relate to governments. And of course he should, and he will. And I expect, you know, you can draw your own conclusions at the end of that process. But if you're asking me for my opinion at this early stage, you know, there are a mistake has been made, but it's not a fatal one. It's one that can be rectified and we can move on. There are others, of course, you know, who you know, are not capable of making mistakes because they're not capable of making decisions. You think Paul Murphy and many others wouldn't even enter into negotiations to discuss the parameters of going into government, let alone getting into government, because they don't want to be in government. They don't want to be in a position whereby they have to make decisions or make priorities. And okay. Maybe then they might make some mistakes and they might seem to be human, which they believe they are infallible, as we hear from them on a regular basis in their pontifications.
We're hearing that some within your own party feel that the Taoiseach, Micheál Martin, should have said something sooner on this. Do you think that he has been remiss in not coming forward?
Well, look, I can only comment on what I've seen and what the reports that I've had. No more than yourself. And the Taoiseach discussed the matter with the Taoiseach on Saturday, as did the leader of the Green Party. It was agreed that the Taoiseach was willing to go into the Dáil, which the Business Committee will cater for today, make a statement, answer questions relating to governance issues for which he is responsible. And I don't expect that the matter should go on any longer or any further, as I said.
So you don't think that the Taoiseach shouldn't have made a statement up to now, before now?
Look, the Taoiseach can speak for himself. Also, I'm saying is, I understand the Taoiseach met with the Taoiseach to discuss this matter, agreed a course of action, which I've no problem with, and I don't think any member of the Dáil should have either, because that's where the Taoiseach or any member of government is accountable.
Okay, Barry Cowan, thank you for joining us. We have Patrick Costello, Green Party TD, on the line now. Where do you stand on this, Patrick?
Well, look, I think there's clear questions that still need to be answered. There's sensitive information that was distributed in a way that really wasn't appropriate. We need to know what the full timeline was, the full impact of those disclosures, what was in the public domain versus what wasn't in the public domain when the document was leaked, was shared, what happened, where did the NAGP distribute it further as well, I think is a very important question. So where we're coming from, where I'm coming from personally, is that look, there are questions to answer here, and that the Taoiseach needs to come in, make a statement, and open himself up to questioning from the Oireachtas. And look, he's agreed to that; he's doing that. So I think we need to let that process play out and see where that stands, and draw our conclusions at the end of that process.
Could this incident, this event, this report, could it have pose huge problems for the coalition and for the Green Party?
I think lots of TDs I'm talking to are very concerned about what was in this document and what's been said and what hasn't been said. You know, TDs I'm talking to in Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael feel that there are still questions to ask, and there's still a lot, it's still very open at the minute. So I think the best thing is that we get the further scrutiny that's needed, that An Taoiseach comes in, presents himself to the Oireachtas for questioning, and we can pick through what really happened and what really didn't happen, and as I say, draw the conclusions at the end of that process.
Yeah, because we know that you had members resign over the mother and baby homes issue. Do you think that there will be more resignations from the Green Party if you carry on in government now that this has happened?
I think that the... Look, there are a lot of internal issues that we're working on within the Green Party. I don't think that's, you know, breaking news to say that. There were members who were very unhappy with going into negotiations to begin with. There were members who were unhappy that we went into government at all. And now there are members who are unhappy that we are in government. But at the end of the day, a large majority of our party voters get into government. So here we are trying to do the best that we can. And I think that there are members who will continue to support us. But as I say, look, for me, much of this is still quite open. We don't have all the answers we need. We have a chance to try and get those answers tomorrow. And I think that, you know, we need to let that play out and get full and frank, honest disclosure tomorrow and see at the end of that where things are.
OK. Patrick Costello, Green Party TD, thank you for joining us. Listening to all of that is Fionnán Sheehan, who's here in the studio with me, Ireland editor at Independent News and Media. Good morning. What
morning.
Do you make of all that?
So I think taking stock of where we're at now, Taoiseach Micheál Martin will be out at 11 a.m. this morning announcing jobs within the pharmaceutical sector. Notably, the Taoiseach and Minister for Jobs won't be with him
on this occasion.
We don't know. I mean, you normally would expect the Minister for Jobs at a jobs announcement. So the Taoiseach will give, in effect, what will be the first government statement on this matter. Up until now, we've had Leo Varadkar in his capacity, yes, as Taoiseach, but as leader of Fine Gael, issuing a statement through Fine Gael and on foot of receiving his own legal advice. So, you know, Attorney General was not involved here at the weekend, so we don't have the official government position on this yet. So Micheál Martin will make some utterance then. From there then, we'll have a meeting today which will decide probably that the Taoiseach will make a statement and face questions tomorrow evening in the Dáil. And from there, I'm told within government, nothing then is being ruled out in terms of further clarifications, an apology, a formal statement from the government, or indeed an internal inquiry. I'm told nothing is being ruled out at this point in time, and that they're going to wait and see how does this go down in terms of his performance in the Dáil tomorrow evening. Does he satisfactorily answer questions? I suppose the Novid issue, you can go back to quote another Taoiseach, the leaking of confidential information in the hands of the government is wrong. The government is frequently involved in commercially sensitive matters, and the leaking of the information can prejudice the position of the taxpayer. That was John Bruton 25 years ago, the man who set very much higher standards on these matters in terms of how government goes about its business. And it is that question of, did this act, these actions on behalf of Leo Varadkar potentially prejudice the position of the taxpayer? Was it possible that the NAGP would have used this to undermine the negotiations and the agreement that was in place that would have resulted in the negotiations reopening? Now, that didn't happen on this occasion, but that's the kind of seriousness of the matter.
They're saying that the NAGP continued to say, until the document was published, I think in May of last year, they continued to say that they hadn't had sight of the deal.
Yeah, so they were left out of the loop, and that was on deeply complicated issue around competition law, recognition of trade unions.
Yeah.
The IMO was the official body that was involved in negotiations. So the AGP, they didn't bring down the agreement, I suppose. If we were looking at this in hindsight and saying this was a €210 million deal that ended up being brought down, and we came back 6 months later and it was a €310 million deal, well, now you'd be looking at it going, they use this information in order to bring about
a better outcome,
and therefore they benefited. They weren't in a position to do that. The Taoiseach himself, in his capacity as leader of Fine Gael and former Taoiseach, has declared himself innocent of any charges, of any breaches of guidelines, rules, laws on this. We haven't yet got the government position in that regard, and certainly he'll be asked about those matters.
This is called the Trump defence, that as head of government, anything he did was by definition authorised.
Yeah, it is curious though that he is involved in all matters pertaining to government, and you could ultimately turn around and say, well, look, he was a Taoiseach, he had to go about and get a result, and he used unorthodox methods on this occasion. However, the line minister was Simon Harris. There were other people who you'd look at this and go, why is the Taoiseach texting a buddy of his saying, give me your address and I'll send you out a confidential document? I mean, you have advisors to do back channels. If it's not appropriate for civil servants to be involved, if it's not appropriate for the individual minister involved, there are grayer ways of going about this rather than directly involving yourself. The good news, I suppose, is that Simon Harris is alive and well and back on Twitter. We haven't got a sermon on the mount about how we're all in this together and there's a collective aim to eradicate coronavirus in the past 48 hours, but he has been back on Twitter this morning.
Well, we did invite him to join us on the programme. He's not available.
Various suggestions within Fine Gael, either he feels he has a conflict of interest because he was the Minister for Health at the time, Moria, or that he is somehow missing. It's been notable that he hasn't uttered any statement on this matter so far, for whatever those reasons. The other person being looked at is Simon Coveney, obviously Minister of Foreign Affairs, Taoiseach at the time, Deputy Leader Fine Gael, understood he'll be on chatting to you tonight on the telly. So you have had a series of other two cabinet ministers, five juniors, three TDs and senators taken to the airwaves today to defend Leo Varadkar. So it is going to depend upon his performance tomorrow, and also does this become something that gains public traction? It's murky. It's certainly uneasy. You'd imagine he's going to have to utter some act of contrition here. There isn't an apology from him. There's a kind of an expression of regret and that it could have been handled a bit differently. He's going to have to go a bit further within the Dáil to kill this off, or else this could drag on. You could end up, for example, you have had in the past where there have been media leaks, investigations initiated by the Department of Government Secretariat. So it's basically the Department of the Taoiseach. Secretary General Martin Fraser would look at the matter, establish the facts and see what came about. In those cases, they never traced the leak. We know who the leak is here is on this occasion. It's more what were the consequences of it, and should it have been done in the manner which it was, and were any guidelines broken?
Well, the story itself, it might be quite complex. It might be difficult to grasp. There may be some people who just don't care about it, but it's more the line in the text message, you know, Leo always delivers, to be fair. That might be the damaging one, or what he said allegedly about refugees, Matt O'Toole saying that, you know, Leo doesn't give an F about refugees, that's Flanagan's baby. It's those sort of things that are likely to cause damage, if damage is caused.
Talking
you agree?
To people in Fine Gael last night, that seemed to be the problem that they were having, that they were looking at these other statements being attributed to Leo Varadkar and not being terribly happy about that. So, you know, is there any evidence that he has uttered such things to his friends, that he has put these types of views out there, not to date, but certainly really poor judgment on his part to behave in this manner, to be sending it to a buddy of his who's then telling everybody, oh, look how influential I am. I mean, it strikes one as Leo Varadkar trying a bit too hard to be liked by his pals and really not accepting that you're the Taoiseach, you're above that now at this point. So a bit to play out. I don't see anybody wanting to bring the house down here. I mean, Fianna Fáil, obviously, in a difficult position. There is a view within Fianna Fáil that Leo Varadkar, or Micheál Martin, has to stamp his authority here and show he is the Taoiseach. The Green Party in the wake of Roger Cougarman's disastrous handling of the mother and baby homes issue, are not really in a position to bring the house down here on this one. So they'll only be pushing it so far.
All right. Well, let's see what happens. As you say, the Taoiseach is due out at 11 o'clock today. And as you said there, Fionnán, we'll have more on this story tonight on the television at 9:30. But we'll bring you any developments as they happen. Fionnán Sheehan, thank you very much.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.